Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Well, one thing that I have learned that's true is that everything is always changing all the time. Right? Like, that's just one thing that you can count on. It's always changing. The weather's changing. The seasons change. Kids change, right? They grow up. They get older and taller. Jobs change. Where you live changes. And sometimes, right, change happens for the better. You get the promotion that you were always hoping for that you would get, or your marriage maybe gets deeper and healthier. Maybe you lose some of the weight that you were hoping to lose, right? Some things change for the better. And some things change not so much for the better, right? Maybe your business fails. Maybe a friendship that you thought was going to last actually begins to fade away. And while someone else is celebrating the loss of their weight, you have found it, right? And it's on you now, right? And so some things change for the better, some things not so much. But everything is always changing. And what gets me the most about this, this is true for my own life, and my guess would be for you as well. Most times when things change, we're so surprised. We're shocked. How could, like, you're so much bigger than this since the last time I saw you, right? You want to say that to little kids and not like a friend, you know, or something like that. But, you know, wow, things have changed so much, right? But we're surprised. We're taken back when life changes. But everything's changing. Nothing stays the same. Except one. There's one person who's absolutely unchanging. God never changes. He's the only person in all of creation, in all of existence, who never changes. In fact, the Bible says things like this about God, that there is no variation or shadows cast by God that shift and change, because God never changes. Hebrews chapter 13 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that he is unchanging, right? So God is unchanging, but the unchanging one is the one who changes you, right? God, who never changes, is the one who changes my life, and he's the one who changes your life. And so we're in this series called Four Questions, where we are looking at four questions that we think everybody should ask and answer. We've been looking at the Bible to answer those questions. So far, on week one, we answered, who am I? Week two, where do I belong? Next week, we're going to be answering the question, why am I here? And then today, we're answering the question of how does God change me? So if you brought a Bible with you, I'm going to ask you to open up to Ephesians chapter 2, or you can click over there on your device. Ephesians is kind of in the middle of the New Testament. You'll find it after Galatians, but before Philippians. So Ephesians 2. While you're going there, I do want to welcome everybody here in the house today. I want to welcome all of our guests who are joining us this morning. I want to welcome everybody who's joining us at Lighthouse Online. Thank you for being with us, wherever it is that you're joining with us today. And I'm wondering, Lighthouse family, can we take a moment and welcome all of our guests and Lighthouse Online who are with us today? We're here for two reasons. One, because God asks us to gather, to worship him, to learn from the scriptures. And number two, we want to make the gospel of Jesus Christ really, really clear to as absolutely many people as we possibly can. And so this is why we gather together every single week. So Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start right in verse 1 and read through a couple of passages. And here's what it says. It says, as for you, by the way, he's writing to some fellow Christians. These are people who have already said yes to Jesus in their lives. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So Paul is writing this letter to some followers of Jesus, and he's helping them to understand their faith. And one of the big things for us today when it comes to asking the question, how does God change me, is we want to look at what to do when you put your faith in Jesus, right? When you have been saved by grace through faith, when you find out who you are in Christ, when you find out that you belong with God in Christ, well, the next question is, okay, well, what do I do, right? What are the next steps that come out of that? And so we want to talk about that from Ephesians chapter 2. And here's the first thing that you can do is you can expect God to change you. That's the first. When you say yes to Jesus, expect that God is going to change you. Now, this truth surprises some people. People who are investigating faith, people who say yes to Jesus, they go, God's gonna change me. Well, wait a second. I thought being saved was just about being forgiven, and then you don't have to carry that guilt anymore. I thought being saved was about going to heaven, and really that's all that this is about. Change? What do you mean change? Why are you talking about change all of a sudden? Well, listen, yes, you are forgiven from your sins when you say yes to Jesus. Yes, you are awaiting the joy of heaven. And yet, when you say yes to Jesus Christ, this is a total transformation of your entire life. Okay, Jesus does not come into your life and redecorate. This is a tear down and a rebuild from the foundation up. Expect that everything in your life will be touched, affected, and changed because this is what he does. This isn't improvements. This is an overhaul. In fact, this is what Jesus said in his earthly ministry in Matthew chapter 18. He said, I can guarantee this truth. Unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And so you can't come in with this idea that I've already got my life set. I've got everything the way that I want. Jesus is just going to like rub off a couple of rough edges in my life. No, you come with the understanding that Jesus is going to absolutely change every aspect of your life. That's why he says you have to come like little children. Right? You come recognizing that the Father is in charge. The Father is leading and in control, and I'm going to trust him every step of the way. Right? This is a very important truth that you have to understand when it comes to following Jesus. God accepts you as you are, but he never leaves you where he found you. That is central to understand. He always accepts you where you are, but he never leaves you where he found you. You can expect God to change you. Now, there are four changes that Paul talks about in this passage that every Christian goes through. I want to walk through these four pretty quickly. So four changes every Christian goes through when they say yes to Jesus. There's a spiritual change, an identity change, a relational change, and a practical change. Now, the spiritual change, and you'll find all of this right in Ephesians. The spiritual change is this. It says, you were spiritually dead. You were dead in your sins and dead in your transgressions. That's what your life looked like before you said yes to Jesus. And now, in Christ, you're spiritually alive, right? So before, you did not have the ability to connect with God, to know God, to trust God, to grow spiritually. But now, in Christ, you're brought to life so you can have a relationship with God. The Spirit of God is living inside of you. Everything is now changing. You are alive. He also says there's an identity change. You go from being Satan's slave, right? That you were under his influence, you were under his leadership. So you go from an identity change that I was Satan's slave to now you are God's masterpiece, right? That's what that word handiwork means in verse 10. So this is an identity change. I was a slave to Satan and now I'm the masterpiece of God. But there's a relational change, right? And the relational change is found in the passage where it says, outside of Christ, you're under God's wrath, right? It means you're an enemy. You're opposing him. You're in rebellion to God. But when you say yes to Jesus, your relationship changes, and now you're in God's mercy and his love and his grace. You're adopted. I love what Chrissy prayed this morning while we were singing, that we are adopted. We are now sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ, which is so cool. Because now, right, if you have a relationship change, like there's no reason for you to like cower before God as if he's like, you know, you're like this beaten dog or, you know, you can't trust him anything, because now you're his son, you're his daughter, right? And he was never that way to begin with. In fact, the book of Hebrews says this, that when you're in Christ, you can now boldly approach his throne in grace, receiving help from him in anything, right? Why? Because there's a relational change, there's a shift. And then there's a practical change. And the practical change is this. If you remember from the passage we read, outside of Christ, I'm being led by my sinful desires, my sinful nature, whatever lust, whatever passion drives me and directs me. I move from chasing sin to now I'm doing good works, right? I'm using my life for the glory of God as opposed to the pleasure for myself. And so these are just four changes that Paul brings forward that every Christian goes through. And so you have to be ready for that. I had a next part in the teaching where I was actually going to ask everybody in this room to get up and change your seat. But I'm afraid that if you get up, you may not find a seat again. So we're going to bypass that this morning and pretend that you did. Because the whole point of that was that some of you are going, thank goodness, right? Because I'd have changed my seat from here to out in the parking lot driving home, right? Like that's where I would have changed my seat to. And some of you guys are going, that's why I watch from online, right? Homie don't play that. But here's the thing. Most people don't like change. We resist it. Why? Because when things change, you have to learn something new. You got comfortable, right? You have to learn something new. You're getting uncomfortable. You're like, ah, man, he's making me get up out of my seat. I just got it deformed to my cheeks. Like, now I got to find another seat, right? All of this stuff. It's new. We resist it. We got to learn something. But here's what you have to understand. God is always changing you. He's always changing you. Look at Philippians chapter 1. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, I'm sure of this. Are you ready? Go. I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Yeah. Listen, you could circle that word, carry it on, or that phrase, carry it on. It's never going to stop. In this world, in this earth, if you're in Christ, you will never stop changing. God will never stop working in your life. I remember when I first put my faith in Jesus Christ, like there were some very significant changes that God began to do in my life, right? Things were shifting for me. But even, you know, that was 27, 28 years ago. But even today, when I read the Bible, when I spend time in prayer, I sense the Spirit of God changing me through the truth of Scripture and the time that I spend with him, right? When my dad got sick and moved in with my wife and I, God was changing me through that process. When I make the intentional decision to serve my wife, Christina, and put her needs above my own desires, God is changing me, right? There's never a moment in this world where he's not changing you. In fact, even when you get ready to leave this world, whether it's through death or Jesus comes back, do you realize you're going to be changed again? This is what 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. By the way, this next part, I've been wanting to put in our nursery forever. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed, right? in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. There is never a moment in your life where God is not changing you. And so be ready. Be ready for God to change you. Expect it. It's who he is. He changes you from sinner to saint, from God's enemy to God's son and his daughter, from being trapped in sin to being free in Christ. Expect that God will change you. Here's the second thing to do when you say yes to Jesus. Discover how God changes you. Discover how God changes you. This is another mistake that people often make, is they'll go, well, God saves me, and now it's up to me to change me, right? God saves me, he forgives me, and now it's on me to live a better life. And so you have people out looking for life hacks. They develop rewards and punishments into their lives. They chase after experiences at camps and conferences and concerts and, you know, bouncing from high to high, thinking that's what it's going to be for them. But what you don't understand is God is the one who changes you, right? You don't change you, God changes you. And so what you can do is you can actually discover the ways that God does change you. And so I want to look at three tools that God uses to change your life. And they're found right here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5. In fact, let's do this. Let's read this verse out loud together with But God. By the way, I love the way this verse transitions, because beforehand it's like you're dead in sin, you're following Satan's influence, you're his slave, chasing after lusts and desires. And then verse 4, but God. That's the transition. That's the shift. Let's read this together. Are you ready? Go. But God, who is rich in, because of his, that he had for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by, circle the word mercy, the word love, and the word grace. These are the tools that God uses to change our lives. Mercy, love, and grace. Mercy, what is that? Mercy, here, let me give you just a really quick working definition on these three words. Mercy is not receiving the punishment that you earned or you deserve. That's what mercy is. It's doing the crime, but not getting the time. Right? So some of you this week actually may have experienced mercy, right? You're flying down 75. And you get, oh, this has happened to a few of you, I see. Okay, yeah. You get pulled over, license and registration, and then you're totally expecting a ticket because you know you were speeding, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't know the speed limit, officer. And he comes back and he gives you a warning. That's mercy. You deserve the ticket, right? But he gives you a warning. That's mercy. Paul wrote about this. If you don't know the Apostle Paul's life, before he met Jesus, he hunted Christians, he arrested Christians, and he killed Christians. Absolutely hated everything about Jesus and spent his life to shut it down. He meets the resurrected Jesus on one of his trips to go hunt Christians, and his life is radically transformed, just changed from the bottom up, everything. And then later, at the end of his life, he writes a letter to one of his friends named Timothy, and in chapter 1, verse 13, he says this, "In the past, I cursed him, I persecuted him, and I acted arrogantly toward him. However, I was treated with mercy. He did not treat me as my sins deserved." Right? There's no reason I should be doing what I'm doing. Right? You have to understand this. Your sin and your disregard for God deserves punishment. But in Christ, God offers you mercy. He does not give you the punishment that you have earned and that you deserve. That's mercy. It's one of the tools God uses to change our lives. Second tool is love. Here's what love is. Yes, love is an emotion, but love is far greater than an emotion. You know what love is? Love is unselfish commitment to another through actions. That's what love is. Love is unselfish commitment to another through actions. This is the life of Jesus. This is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. In fact, while he was still on earth, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." That is the ultimate example of what love looks like. And not only did Jesus lay down his life for his friends, but he actually laid down his life for his enemies, right? For you and me who are rebelling against God. That's what love is. That's one of the tools God uses to change your life. And the third tool is grace. Grace is receiving a gift that you didn't earn. Grace is receiving a gift that you didn't earn. One time I had a friend of mine reach out to me and said, "Hey, I've got some hockey tickets. I can't use them and I want to give them to you." And they were great seats. And I actually, if I remember right, I think it was during a playoff run as well. And I'm like, "Oh man, this is so exciting. I'm so thankful." And my first question out of the gate is, "What do I owe you for them? What can I give you?" No, you don't owe me anything. Just, man, just go enjoy, have a great time. No, I want to give you something. These are great tickets. I can't just have them for free. No, it's a gift, right? Just take it and enjoy." I was like, no, I'm telling you, I can give you something. I don't want you to, and he's like, "Stop. Go enjoy yourself. I don't want anything in return." That's grace. Grace, by nature, is humbling, right? Especially when you think you have the ability to pay your own way. And so this is one of the tools God uses to change our lives. Now, there is one moment in time where mercy and love and grace all intersect in one moment. And it's Jesus' death and his resurrection. All of this comes together in one moment. Because Jesus died the death that you deserve to die for your sin. And so now, when you put your faith in him, you don't have to. You don't have to go through that death. That's mercy, right? God unselfishly gave his son as the final payment for our sin. That's love, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world. And now everyone who puts their faith in Jesus and in his work gets to be changed forever as a gift. That's grace. And so we have to understand is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the absolute cornerstone to a changed life, to a truly changed life. In fact, if you try any other pathway, it'll never last. Your willpower might be able to get you along for a week, maybe a month. For people who have a lot of discipline, maybe 6 months to a year. But every day your willpower is being chipped away and you lose the strength to pull off that change. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the absolute cornerstone of a changed life. This is what Peter was writing about in his letter. He said, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has given us a new birth because of his great mercy. We have been born into a new life that has a confidence which is alive because Jesus Christ has come back to life. We have been born into a new life which has an inheritance that can't be destroyed or corrupted and can't fade away. The only way to a new life is through the mercy, love, and grace of Jesus. We're not changed by hard work, but through faith in Christ." And so as you read the Bible to understand God and ask the Spirit to open your eyes to the wonders of his word, to expose his character and what he's like. When you pray, ask the Spirit to grant you. This is one of the prayers in Ephesians chapter 3. Pray for the strength to even be able to grasp the love of God, how high and wide and deep and long it is. And as you do, the Holy Spirit is transforming you from the inside out. This is what he does, right? But God changes us through his mercy and his love and his grace. And so discover that, lean into it. All right, here's a third thing that you can do when you say yes to Jesus. What Paul says in Ephesians 2 is to display the ways that God is changing you. Display the ways that God is changing you. Again, there are too many people who think that faith is a private matter, right? This is just between me and Jesus. No one else needs to know about it. It's just for me to enjoy, me to engage in, and I don't need other people to know what's going on in my life. But it's actually not. Faith in Jesus Christ is not a private matter at all. In fact, you remember in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we read it. He says, "You are God's handiwork." Another word for that word handiwork is masterpiece or work of art, right? And so if you are God's masterpiece, if you are God's work of art, then that means you are meant to be put on display. You're meant to be seen, right? And by the way, I know for some of you going, I'm not putting this masterpiece out there for anybody to look at, right? There is so much work that God still has to do in my life. Most masterpieces are not created in a day. They take time. And God is sculpting you. And God is shaping you. And trust him as he's chiseling away those pieces that were never meant to be a part of who you are to begin with. And so trust his process along the way. God wants other people to see your changed life. He does. In fact, Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, one of the things that Jesus taught, he says, "Listen, you're the light of the world. A city situated on a hill cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand, and it gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." You should underline that phrase. Let your light shine before others. Why? So people see how awesome you are, So people see how great you are and how cool you are? No. What did Jesus say? So that they may see your good works. Okay, so there is an attention on you, but it's your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And so there's no level where you can actually be hidden in the background. Jesus says, no, you're a light. You're a city on a hill. Of course people are going to see you. Of course people are going to see your changed life. But the end goal should be them giving glory to God, not them giving glory to me or to you, right? We're pointing on to him. The reason I share this is you don't have to hide the fact that you're a follower of Jesus. In fact, you can't. If you are a genuine follower of Jesus, you can't hide that truth and that fact. It's just going to bubble out of you if you're genuinely in Christ. I remember after I put my faith in Jesus Christ, one of the questions that kept coming up with my family and especially friends who had not seen me since I had met Jesus is they would, at some point in our time together, they would pull me to the side or just ask blatantly in front of a group of people and they would say, "What happened to you?" And I'm like, "What do you mean?" They're like, "You're different. What's going on in your life? What's changed about you?" Open door. "Hey, man," and I met Jesus, and he is changing me. He is radically transforming my life, and it's awesome. And I would tell them about it, and I would invite them. And it was, you know, it's up to them. They got to make a decision. God led me to make my decision. They have to make their own decision as well. But if you're genuinely in Christ, man, you can't stop the light from coming out. And you wouldn't want to anyways. You're a city on a hill, man. You're a lamp. Be on a lampstand. Let God's glory shine through you through the ways that he's changing you. By the way, you're not just changing from something, right? Sin. You're also being changed for something, right? Ephesians 2 said what we're being changed for. We're being changed for the good works that we were created to do in the first place, right? And so here's what I would say to every follower of Jesus in the room and everybody that's joining online. I think every Christian should have two things. One, a ministry in the church, and two, a mission in the world. I think every Christian should have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. And so ministry in the church, what do I mean? Well, it could be working with our awesome team in Lighthouse Kids, helping children to experience God's love, to discover truth of who God is at an early age, to say yes to him and let the Spirit lead their life going forward. It could be participating in your small group, helping each other walk with Jesus, discipling students, leading music, helping out with administrative tasks through the week, being a prayer partner, teaching, hospitality, creating an environment where people feel welcomed here on Sunday mornings. All of those are amazing ministries that Christians, and by the way, God has gifted you to use those gifts in ministry in his church, right? And the way you discover those gifts is actually by serving people, right? There's no assessment, there's no test, there's no online survey. You just start serving. And somebody goes, "Wow, you're really good at this." You go, "Really?" That's a sign. That's a spiritual gift that God has given to you. But every Christian should also have a mission in the world. A key way that you're helping not yet believers encounter the good news of Jesus where they're at. And so for some of you, your mission field is actually at your job, right? You connect with the most amount of people who don't know who Jesus is. And what an opportunity to let them see how God is changing your life. Right? And it could be simple things from when people start asking the question, right? Monday, you go to work tomorrow, and people go, "Hey, what'd you do over the weekend?" And you'd be like, "Man, I went to church and we got to see Adeline get baptized." "What does that mean?" "Oh, I'd love to talk to you about that," right? And you unpack some of that. Hey, what's new in your life? "Oh, let me tell you something God's been teaching me and how he's shaping me and changing my life," right? You're just, wherever you're at, for some of you, your mission field is your school. Right? Every day, some of you are among hundreds, some of you thousands of students, every day, many of them who don't know who Jesus is. What a great opportunity to point them to hope in Jesus Christ. And for some of you, your mission field is your home. The people who are living right under your roof have not said yes to Jesus yet. And so this is your greatest opportunity to let them see the good news of Jesus every single day, right up front. Even when you fail, even when you succeed, when you're walking in obedience to God, when you're walking in disobedience to God, and you seek confession and forgiveness, right? But every Christian should have a ministry in the church and a mission in the world. To give you a little bit of a glimpse of what good works on a mission field looks like. I've invited my friends, Papa V and Hannah Ayana, to come and share a little bit about what's going on. And so I'm wondering, would you guys welcome this morning Papa V and Hannah? Welcome. Glad you guys are here today.
Thank
Papa
you.
V, thanks for coming. Glad you guys are here. Good. So, Hannah, Papa V, why don't you share with us a little bit what's going on in Togo and where you're serving?
Glad to. First, Papa V asked me to share because English is his fourth language, and he wants me to understand well. Our family serves in Togo, West Africa, with SIM. He was sharing the good news of Jesus Christ among the communities where he is least known. We manage an agriculture and discipleship project that supports the physical and spiritual needs of Togolese who choose to follow Jesus despite the significant obstacles and cultural pressure. Through biblical and practical training, our team is helping persecuted Christians to develop deep roots to weather imminent trials. Often our work involves preparing the soil and sowing seeds, but we also rejoice in the harvest as hundreds have put their trust in Jesus over the past 3 years. It's exciting to see how God is changing lives in Togo and how he continues to change us as well. In 2011, when I moved to Guinea, I was adamant that I was not a missionary, but a teacher. I hoped to equip my students with education and leadership skills so they could change their country. But the Lord reminded me that my students' futures were hopeless without a relationship with Jesus. I was not there to save them from their situation, but to point them to Jesus, the only one who can truly save. Papa V was similarly impacted working with students in southern Togo. Day after day, we would see students enduring the whole school day without eating anything. By 1 o'clock, these students were unable to focus on their lessons as they battled hunger, heat, and fatigue. Papa V was only earning about $35 a month, but he was happy to purchase food to share with his students, which built a bridge for stronger relationships. He witnessed how the lack of basic necessities prevented receptivity to the gospel and spiritual growth. That experience motivated him to follow Jesus' example of caring for both the physical and spiritual needs of people where he grew up and now in a different region in Togo. As we engage in cross-cultural ministry, God is changing our hearts by increasing our trust and dependence in the Lord. Living in Togo, there is so much that is out of our control, and it leads us to pray. Power and water cuts are common, road accidents are frequent. Schedules change constantly because of the rain, unexpected visitors, and unanticipated needs. It's easy for me to see unplanned guests as an interruption to my work, but often showing Christ's love to this unplanned guest is the work that God has for me that day. Through pregnancy loss, immigration delays, and unmet expectations, we've learned to hold our plans lightly as we surrender to the timing and the ways of the Lord. Even in our doubting, our gracious Father has provided again and again. With an incomprehensible peace, we are currently waiting for him to supply all that we need to return to Togo. We thank you for your prayers and your giving that support our ministry among the unreached. If you'd like to learn more about how God is changing lives and how you can help the good news to be shared in Togo, please come see us in the lobby after the service.
And so also you guys are doing a Testimonies from Togo on May 4th, right?
Yes.
And so if that's something you want to find out more about what Papa V and Hannah and their kids, Simeon and Silas, are doing, you could check that on your connection card. They'll get you all the information on how you can be a part of that. We want to say thank you for taking time to be with us this morning. Can we take a moment to pray with you? Let's do that this morning as a church family. If you're joining online, we're going to pray together for the Ayanas. God, we are thankful for the work that they're doing around the world. And we're asking, will you provide every single thing that they need to share the hope of Jesus, to help people know who you are, whether that's through acts of kindness, clear words of truth, reading of scripture, pray, whatever it may be. And may you continue to transform their hearts and their minds in the process. We are so grateful for our brothers and sisters who are going to share the good news wherever it is that you lead them. Thank you for changing us and being able to get a front row seat of seeing how you're changing lives through us as well. And we ask these things in the good name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hey, can we say thank you to Papa V and Hannah this morning? What I love about that account is not only are they out sharing with people the hope of Jesus Christ, but I don't know if you heard what Hannah said. She said in the process, God is changing us, right? He's teaching us how to rely on him. He's teaching us how to trust him in different seasons and situations. And so as you are serving others in ministry, as you are serving others in the mission field, God uses that to change your life in the process as well. And so when you say yes to Jesus, God will change you. This is just what he does. This is who he is. And he uses his mercy and his love and his grace to transform you. And you have to remember, God always welcomes you as you are, but he never leaves you as he found you, right? This is why Jesus came. He came to change us from the inside out. And I know for some of you, you've been saying yes to Jesus and he's changing the way that you think. You've said yes to Jesus and he's changing the way that you talk and some of your priorities and values in your life. You've said yes to Jesus and he's even changing your environment and who some of your closest connections are. And there's all kinds of things that are changing about your life right now and it feels really uncomfortable and you're learning new things and it feels unsettling. And at the same time, there's this joy that comes with all of that change. Here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of all the changes that God is doing in your life, I want you to remember one thing. God never changes. God's love for you will never increase or decrease. His unselfish commitment to you through actions is maxed out, and he'll never back off the gas pedal on that. The God who saved you by grace through faith is the same God who keeps you by grace through faith. He doesn't change. He's the same. God's faithfulness to you will never fail. Even when your faithfulness to him falls to pieces. Our God never changes. The Bible says God's mercies are new every morning, but his character maintains from generation to generation and beyond. Listen, God accepts you as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Trust God's plan to change you in who he wants you to be, who he's designed you to be, who he's made you to be. This is what forgiveness through Jesus Christ really looks like and results in. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We take a moment at the end of each teaching to spend some time thinking about the truth we've heard from the scriptures. And we like to end with this question. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now through this message and through this truth? And I just want to give you an opportunity to listen to him this morning. I just kind of want you to keep focusing on the Lord for a moment because I want to talk to some of you in the room for just a second because there are some here in this room and some who are joining online. You've been a part of Lighthouse Community for the last three Sundays and perhaps even longer than that. And you've discovered that through faith in Christ, you can know who you are. That through faith in Christ, you can know where you belong and that you belong with God. And you've discovered this morning that through faith in Christ, God can and will change your life. You are understanding that. That truth is clear and apparent. And I want to pull out one thing from the passage. It says, you have been saved by grace through faith. And you need grace because grace is the offer and the hope of what Jesus' work has done for you. And so it's an offer to receive all those gifts that come with it. But you also need faith because faith is the response to receive it. That's why you're saved by grace through faith. Because if it's only grace, then you have an offer but no response and you're still dead in your sins. If you have faith and no grace, well, then your faith is in you trying to make your life better to meet God's standards. And you can't do that. And so you're still spiritually dead. The only way to be made alive in Christ is to be saved by grace through faith, that God offers this amazing gift, and then you respond by saying yes to Jesus. And for some of you here this morning and some who are joining online right now, today is the time for you to say yes, for you to put your hope and your faith in Jesus Christ and to let him transform you. And I've been praying for the last 3 weeks that God would lead you to this moment and this point. And I don't want anybody to leave this room and I don't want anybody to log off without an opportunity to make the decision to say yes to Jesus this morning. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here, if you're joining online, you're going, man, I am ready. I get it. I realize that my whole life has to be in Christ. I have to let him transform me from the inside out through his work and his grace and his love and his mercy. And I'm ready to say yes. And I don't care if you've never been a part of a church before today or you grew up in the church and you never understood this truth, because we all need it no matter what. And if you're at that place where you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I want to lead you in a prayer. And you can pray this out loud. Actually, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask some of you, I'm going to ask our family, let's lead in a prayer. And we have some people, I know they're gonna pray this prayer by faith. And I just don't want anybody to pray alone this morning. I want us to pray together as a family. So even if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to pray this out loud with me, and I'll keep the phrases short so you can follow along. Are you ready? Lord, I'm tired of trying to change myself. Today, I'm asking for an overhaul. I receive your mercy for my past, your love for my present, and your grace for my future. I see that I need Jesus, and I'm ready to say yes to him by faith. I know he'll reveal who I am. And I know he'll welcome me into his family. I'm ready for you to change my life. Now, this morning, if you've come to the place where you've said that by faith, and it's not the words, it really isn't, it is the heart's desire. You know, God cares more about why you do something than what you do. And so it's not about the prayer, but it's about, does this express what's going on in your heart and in your life? And this, if you've said yes to Jesus by faith, man, I want to tell you, I want to welcome you to God's family. It is good. It is awesome. You belong here. You belong with God. And the change that is starting today will continue the rest of your life. And it's good. And it's wonderful. And it's awesome to walk with him. And so if you said yes to Jesus this morning by faith, what I want you to do is on your card, there's a next step at the top. It says, I'm saying yes to Jesus as my forgiver and leader today. And I hope you'll check that card. Here's all we want to do is, one, I want to be able to pray for you by name. And number two, we would love to send you just some early steps on how you can start walking with God in a clear and profound way. And so if you'll take that blue card, mark that on the back of that next step, drop that in the offering at the end of the service, we would love to be able to help you take some steps in that way. Now, let me tell you what's going to happen next. We want to pray for you. And so what's going to happen is we're going to have prayer leaders who will be in the four corners of the room. And so I'm going to ask those prayer leaders if they'll head to those locations now. As they're going to those locations, the band's going to come up and they're going to lead us in just one more song. And during that song, what anybody here in the room can do is actually head to one of those corners, introduce yourself, and just say, hey, I'm wondering if you would pray with me about this situation. And these prayer leaders would absolutely love to pray with you today. If you're joining online in the chat right now, there's an option for you to pray with one of our hosts in real time. And so click on that link. They would love to pray with you wherever you're joining from right now. You don't have to be a member to receive prayer. Even if this is your very first time, we welcome you. Leverage one of our prayer leaders. And please don't ever feel embarrassed or ashamed to want prayer. Every person needs prayer. I need prayer. You need prayer. There are changes going on in our lives and in our world. And prayer is an opportunity for us to lean in and trust God in clear ways. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat and head to one of those corners. But before we do, I want to pray for you. So let's stand together here in the room as we transition to prayer and singing. I'm going to pray for you, and then I'm going to ask you to come forward as well. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would draw every single person who needs prayer right now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com. or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.